This is toward the end now. This is autobiographical dictation, March 29th, 1906. It was during my first year's apprenticeship in the courier office that I did a thing which I've been trying to regret for 55 years. It was a summer afternoon and just the kind of weather that a boy prizes for river excursions and other frolics, but I was a prisoner. The others were all gone holidaying. I was alone and sad. I had committed a crime of some sort, and this was my punishment. I must lose my holiday and spend the afternoon in solitude. Besides, I had the printing office all to myself there in the third story. I had one comfort, and it was a generous one while it lasted. It was the half of a long and broad watermelon, fresh and red and ripe. I gouged it out with a knife and found accommodation for the whole of it in my person, though it did crowd me until the juice ran out of my ears. There remained then the shell, the hollow shell. It was big enough to do duty as a cradle. I didn't want to waste it, and I couldn't think of anything to do with it which could afford entertainment. I was sitting at the open window, which looked out upon the sidewalk of the main street three stories below, and it occurred to me to drop it on somebody's head. I doubted the judiciousness of this, and I had some compunctions about it, too, because so much of the resulting entertainment would fall to my share, and so little to the other person. But I thought I would chance it. I watched out of the window for the right person to come along, the safe person. But it didn't come. Every time there was a candidate, he or she turned out to be an unsafe one, and I had to restrain myself. But at last, I saw the right one coming. It was my brother, Henry. He was the best boy in the whole region. He never did harm to anybody, never offended anybody. He was exasperatingly good. He had an overflowing abundance of goodness, but not enough to save him this time. I watched his approach with eager earnest. He came strolling along, dreaming his pleasant summer dream, and not doubting but that Providence had him in his care. If he had known where I was, he would have had less confidence in that superstition. As he approached, his form became more and more foreshortened. When he was almost under me, he was so foreshortened that nothing of him was visible from my high place except the end of his nose and his alternately approaching feet. Then I poised the watermelon, calculated my distance, and let it go, hollow side down. The accuracy of that gunnery was beyond admiration. He had about 6 steps to make when I let that canoe go, and it was lovely to see those 2 bodies gradually closing in on each other. If he had had 7 steps to make or 5 steps to make, my gunnery would have been a failure. But he had exactly the right number to make, and that shell smashed down right on top of his head and drove him into the earth up to his chin. The chunks of that broken melon flew in about every direction like a spray, and they broke third-story windows all around. They had to get a jack just as they hoist buildings with to pull him out. I wanted to go down there and condole with him, but it just would not have been safe. He would have suspected me at once. I expected him to suspect me anyway. But as he said nothing about this adventure for 2 or 3 days, I was watching him in the meantime in order to keep out of danger. I was deceived into believing that this time he didn't suspect me. It was a mistake. He was only waiting for a sure opportunity. Then he landed a cobblestone on the side of my head, which raised a bump there so large I had to wear 2 hats for a time. I carried this crime to my mother, for I was always anxious to get Henry into trouble with her and could never succeed. I thought that I had a sure case this time when she should come to see that murderous bump. I showed her to her, but she said it was no matter. She didn't need to inquire into the circumstances. She knew I had deserved it, and the best way would be for me to accept it as a valuable lesson, and thereby get profit out of it.